Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, let's go. You're on with J&J, 92.9 FM ESPN on a Friday, December 19th edition of the show. Happy to be here. Not just because it's Friday. We have a bountiful, we have a blessed weekend of sports ahead. In fact, the Memphis Tigers football team going to be on the field and playing before John and I even get out of here. Yes, sir. Gasparilla Bowl action. Tigers, last I looked, 3.5-point underdogs to NC State. That's a 1:30 game on ESPN. I'm looking over right now, and my man Jerry Mack and Kennesaw State are being run through by Western Michigan, 27-0. There was a time I was watching this championship game, thought Mack might be the next Memphis coach, and we still think he's a good coach. He's going through a tough time today. We've moved on. Charles Huff, the coach here, and we will move on. In all seriousness, how about a round of applause for Reggie Howard? The man who's had to hold it down since Sylvie got up out of here on y'all. Now, we knew Sylvie was working before his way on out of here to Arkansas. Reggie's been working on holding down. So whatever happens, I want to thank him for what he's done for the program. We mentioned big weekend. Thursday night football game for the ages, John.
Yeah, for the ages indeed.
We sweated it out together, didn't we?
We sure did, didn't we?
Like brothers. Like we both had investment in it.
We did.
Because I really had skin in the game.
You did.
Some fantasy, obviously. Fantasy implications.
But
is
fantasy
the way to put that.
Becomes reality, doesn't it?
In many ways, I felt like I was riding that roller coaster of emotion with you.
Yeah.
But I think we all were. That was game of the year, right?
Oh, I mean, there have been some crazy ones. I mean, Broncos and Eagles was crazy.
Okay, well, Broncos
crazy Colts
a lot.
Was crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say that one was the field goal where the had the you're pushing up, jumping over the guy.
Broncos,
whatever that's called.
Giants was crazy.
Crazier than this?
I mean, it was a 46-point fourth quarter, you know, and it was a 33-32 game. I mean, there have been some dramatic ones, but I mean, well, in terms of probably leverage, yes, game of the year.
I would just say this. The Rams became the first NFL team ever to lose with 500-plus yards and a 3-plus turnover difference.
How about that?
It's never happened in NFL history. Never happened.
Until last night.
That thing. How about Sam Darnold? Wow. We had written you off. You didn't write back. Not in that fourth. He did not write back. But John said the key thing. Rashid Shaheed.
Yeah.
He's the one really to turn that game around, wasn't he?
That punt return gave them life.
It breathed new life back into Sam Darnold.
Yep.
Who the ghost had killed off.
Because it was just a quick change, right? I mean, that's what it was. It was a quick change.
Huge.
And they got the 2-point conversion.
Changed everything. You're right. That was the turnaround.
You know, even if they had gotten that ball and gone on a long drive, it still would have taken time off the clock, right? It would have taken 2 to 3 to maybe longer minutes off the clock. That changed everything. The Seahawks previously were 0-172 when they were down 15 points or more in the fourth quarter, historically as a franchise. Now, 1-172.
It's amazing.
Shh.
Sammy.
And we appreciate JSN and all of his contributions.
You remember my guy from Sinners?
Yes.
Sammy.
That's what he said when he grabbed him out That's of that right. water right there.
We want you, Sammy.
Yeah.
And
scared the mess out of me.
Yeah. Well, you've made it through that movie.
We had to put that metal in his head, didn't we?
We sure
Wouldn't
did.
Have killed him if the sun hadn't come up. Though.
Yeah, no, but it definitely
slowed him.
It did. Yep. It did. And the next thing you know, just right on time.
That was a piece of the guitar, wasn't it?
That was the guitar. Oh, yes.
Love that movie. Which, apparently, it's going to win some quite a bit.
Oh, it'll win for sure.
Still one of his favorites of the year.
Yeah. It won't win the big ones probably. It won't probably win Best Actor. It probably won't win Best Picture, but it'll win Best Score.
I had my question marks when you thought that was just Best Actor job.
Yeah. Well, again,
didn't you come in here singing that?
I did. I thought
that's
it would
what
be,
I thought.
I got wrapped up in the emotion, you know, because you got to remember how woke I am.
You said he's playing two people. This is unbelievable. It's the best I've ever seen.
The movie was fantastic.
That's why we'll never be film critics.
The movie was a great movie, you know, and it spoke to me. But it's not going to speak to the critics, unfortunately. And also, it's too mainstream. If you slap A24 on that, it would have went on one everything. But unfortunately, you know, it was too big budget, all that stuff. Mm. Coogler might win Best Director. I imagine that would be in the mix, you know. Yeah. So, but it'll win Score, win, you know, maybe Director. You know, I'll be back with you after the break.
Looking forward to it.
To update you. Big show today. Anthony Sane is going to join us at 11:25.
Go Grizz.
Talked to him about the Memphis Grizzlies. I can't remember. Bennett called it the holiday game tomorrow the against the Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
He's just in here doing his weekly ticket sales. But they take on the Wizards tomorrow. And so we'll talk to him about talk about game of the year.
Yeah, fresh meat.
You know, this certainly feels like that with Bilal Coulibaly coming to town,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's about it.
We got Sarr.
Sar, who actually is having a pretty good year.
Yeah.
Much better.
I would have said him first. Yeah. But to each his own.
To each his own, absolutely. Averaging 19 and 8.
I still can't pronounce Coulibaly's name.
Well, you got it.
All right. That's only because you said it first.
Yeah. Bilal Coulibaly.
That's how it would work.
He together. Of the 8 and 4 ilk. Yes. Yes, indeed. 8 and 4.
He's averaging 8 and 4.
He is.
You definitely should have said Sar first.
They have anybody else? Did they draft? Oh, they got Trey Johnson.
They got a man who, do they not still have Tyus?
I think Tyus is a magic.
Oh, he is.
Magician.
Excuse me. Yeah. Tells you how much attention I've been paying to the Wizards.
And he's not playing really well.
Having him one of his worst years, yeah.
2 points.
I do remember
5 points a game.
They've stopped playing him.
Yeah. He did play yesterday, 19 minutes.
Okay.
It seems like that's probably the most he's played in a while.
We salute you, Tyus. Kind of forgotten about you.
Either way, the Wizards will be in town tomorrow, and we'll talk to Anthony Sane about the season, being close to 500 again, the win on the road at Minnesota, Isolo's quotes the other day, all that and more with Anthony Sane at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Parthi Padja is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the Memphis basketball program. He will tell us why not only the Tigers will win tomorrow, but they will still be an at-large team. He will tell us why he believes
that. There's no hope for that. Yeah.
I'm making that up. I don't think he's going to say that. But he will join us at 1:25.
Love to talk about to him about this the story that your man over the Helmsman's got about how much they fined Bradshaw. Have you not seen that story?
I did see that. I did see that report.
Shout
yesterday.
Out to him.
Yeah, old Sammy Shoemaker. Sammy!
Nice job, Shoemaker.
That Aaron Bradshaw's had $20,000 of NIL rescinded. And
man,
when
did a follow-up,
the
didn't he?
Yeah.
Good job on
amongst
that.
The team.
Shout out Daily Helmsman.
Yeah.
And Brother Shoemaker. Great job on that story.
So we'll talk to Parth about all of that at 1:25. But yes, the Seattle Seahawks, ladies and gentlemen, have taken over the NFC's number one spot. With a dramatic come-from-behind victory, down 30-14 with 13:34 left in regulation, they win 38-37 in overtime. Now, the nature of this thing is that when you're down 16 with 13 left in the game against a team like the Rams, it's going to take some generational things happening, and one of those things was that 2-point conversion. I mean, the fact that they even thought to look at that as a backwards pass, Jason, was what kind of got me. Because just watching it live, it didn't even feel like it was a question. Mm-hmm. And they ultimately went to the monitor and determined that it was indeed a backwards pass. The Rams defender tried to jump on it. It squirted out from under him. got called incomplete on the field, which is why everybody stopped playing. Charbonnet picks it up in the end zone, literally like it's a piece of trash, and he's just like, I got to give this back to the official. But he happens to be standing in the end zone when he picks it up. If he had been on the two-yard line, right, he wouldn't have run into the end zone. He would have just picked it up and handed it to the official, and it would have been no good.
Mm-hmm.
But he just so happened to be standing in the end zone and picked up the ball. I mean, you got that is just – I don't think you'll ever see another two-point conversion like that. That's, you know, a lateral and blown dead, and then the guy just picks it up by luck, by pure luck, and where his feet are. I mean, that's – you know.
Yeah, they had a bunch of MVPs, and Charbonnet's one of them for making that play. I mean, you don't have the ending that you don't have that you have, possibly, very possibly, if he doesn't make that play. I know McVay was hot about it afterwards, saying he didn't get a clear explanation. I don't care what it was called on the field. What I care about is that they got it right,
mm-hmm.
and according to the rules. And according to the rules, they
Absolutely.
Did. And so I don't feel sorry at all for yep. the Rams in this situation. It was freaky, and if it had happened to my team, I'd feel a certain kind of way about it.
For sure.
But I wouldn't say the NFL has done me wrong here.
Right, because it's the letter of the law.
It was within the rules, man. It was a crazy play. I think that's part of why I think you talk about game of the year. That had to happen.
Had to
have the two-point conversion at the end because they went for it.
That's right.
Because if you don't go for it and just go for the tie, well, that doesn't get you anywhere because they've already beaten you, frankly, and the tie would give – the Rams the edge in terms of for the division and everything else.
Okay.
So they had,
to go for it.
And it was the right move to
it,
go
it
for
was, it. I didn't
but
know
then,
that.
Then
a tie would have.
Factored it. Tie okay. you lose.
Got
tie
it.
Because they've already beaten you once.
Got it.
And so they had to go for it.
Yep.
What guts. It was the right call. But then to get it.
To get it.
After the Charbonnet play, to go get that touchdown, JSN on the touchdown in overtime, but to go for the two and get the two there. And boy, did they make it look easy.
Yes.
Just all those things together
yes.
that had to happen. You know, down 16 in the fourth.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
It really was.
Yeah.
It really was. I mean, the fact that, you know, you needed that missed field goal, right? You needed
missed the field goal counts in there.
I mean, you know.
And he had not missed.
He had not missed. Right. He had been, I think he was 8 of 8 on the year before he came into that one. You know, it was a 48-yarder. Kickers are making 60-yarders now, you know, on the regular. And he sailed the 48-yarder, you know, wide right. When Matthew Stafford hit Puka on that 41-yard touchdown, I was like, all right. You know, that's that. That's that.
Of course.
Because it's just like the Seahawks had wasted so much energy coming back, fighting back, and kind of felt like with the injuries in the secondary that was going to do it. But, man, Sam Darnold. Sammy! Just marches the Seahawks right down the field and finds Jackson Smith and Jigba for that touchdown, little toe tap in the back of the end zone. That was an – I mean, they that was the thing. They just kept getting two-point conversion and two-point conversion and two-point conversion. It was just quite the game last night. And now, again, the Seahawks have in terms of a meaningful game, there definitely hasn't been a better one. I mean, that could decide the one seed in the NFC.
48% Seattle went up in terms of their chances to win the one seed. The Rams would have been up at 90 had they won the game, and that game should have been won. Just told you, no teams had 500-plus yards and a 3-plus turnover difference and lost
right.
in NFL history. The Rams would have a 90% chance to lock it down. Now it's Seattle's to lose at 48%. Rams go down to 25. 49ers are back in. Look at the rest of their schedule.
Yes.
21%. And then you got my Bears holding down at 5. I don't take that part seriously, but the point is that the Rams have opened the – I mean, excuse me, Seattle has opened this thing up. You could say the Rams, too, in allowing it to happen, but the Seattle's opened this thing up in the NFC to – wide open here down the stretch. Two games left for them, three for the rest, obviously. And it should be a fun ending is what it says. I would still
Absolutely.
Say if we need to bottom line this. And if you're going to do that, I would still say to me, the Rams are the team.
Agreed.
To beat.
Agreed.
That was an unbelievable win. Usually, before last night, the Rams had owned Sam Darnold and looked like for three quarters they were about to own him again. And that's what everybody's been talking about. Peter Strugger put it great. People were writing the obit on Sam Darnold in the fourth quarter after he threw that, second interception?
Yep.
They were writing up saying he can't win the big ones. He gets here. He sees ghosts. All that was being written. And he changed the narrative. Peter Strugger from ESPN pointed out. I thought that was a great way to put it. We've talked about Ja. Change the narrative. Get out there and play. He changed it right there in that fourth quarter. You said the key, if Shaheed doesn't return that punt, that you don't have the opportunity here
Agreed.
To come back. That door isn't open for Sam Darnold. But, man, you got to credit that dude because it felt like it was going the way it always had here for Sam Darnold.
Yep.
Not going to be able to get the big one done. He absolutely turned it around. I mean, they didn't have – Jackson Smith and Jigba didn't have a catch in the first half. They had shut him down. 9 receptions. You get the touchdown to him late. Sam was able to make the throws when he needed to.
Yes, he was.
So, but I would still say Rams for now in the NFC.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree.
Even now behind the Seahawks in terms of a shot at the one seed in the division, I would still say the Rams are team I would pick. I mean,
most
look at they almost played a perfect game.
Right.
Other than defensively, you didn't get the stops you needed.
Yeah, I mean, you're –
offensively.
Any team that can put up 500 yards of offense on the road like that against a defense like Seattle's, I mean, come on. They play that game 10 times. The Rams are probably winning, seven times?
And all of a sudden, that Seattle defense is awfully banged up.
They had
secondary after secondary guys going down last night.
Credit to them. I mean, they stayed in the race. They gave themselves a lead. They gave themselves a lead in the NFC West and in the NFC generally. But I think that's going to be really tough to maintain. Again, you know, the 49ers here, I think the 49ers, if they win this weekend, which I assume they will.
The 49ers can win and go all the way to the Super Bowl at their house.
Right.
If they get to the one.
It's crazy.
So Greeny was trying to make this point, and we were all trying to – he was trying to figure it out as he said it. But if they win out, they got a game, Monday night, I think it is, that's on the – and I think the rest can – they are – regular season, they're at home. You can finish that out winning. And if you get that one seed, win Monday night to run the table, they can host the Super Bowl, play all the way at home through the Super Bowl, which would be nuts.
Yes.
And apparently has never happened in NFL history.
I mean, it's on the table. I mean, which, again, speaks to Kyle Shanahan. Because he's not had Brock Purdy for half the year. You know, he lost Fred Warner. I mean,
Rams hosted Super Bowl but did not have home field. They were a wild card that year,
yeah.
I think is the point that they made on that. So I do believe it'd be first time. That's just Niners are right there. That's
because
you cannot write them off. And their chances to, you know, get that one seed right there, 21%, just as good as the Rams pretty much at 25.
I'll be honest.
And Seattle's at 48.
Whoever wins, if the Rams don't win the NFC, so any non-Rams team that wins the NFC, I feel like that coach is coach of the year over Vrabel. Because, I don't know if the Patriots are going to be the one seed, but if you're talking about it's the Seahawks, come on. You get Sam Darnold in there, like, and you're the one seed in the NFC, that's an unbelievable job. I know he's revived his career, but we saw the limitations last night. Let's be honest.
I think you got a lot of good cases. If they went on and did that, you got a case for Shanahan.
That's what I'm saying.
With everything
Shanahan
that he's losses,
it.
If he comes back.
Yes. If the Bears win it.
I still think Vrabel, what he's done, even if they don't win the division, I think they're still going to do that. I still think he's in there. Ben Johnson's in there. Your Jacksonville coach. There's a ton of coach of the year candidates that should be up there this year.
Who would, like, right now today, who's getting your vote? Vrabel?
Today? Coming off the loss to the Bills, you blew a 21-point lead?
Yeah.
It's hard to say today.
He's the betting
favorite.
Before
that game, he was my man.
Right.
You're asking me.
Yeah. Who are you? I think
it's open now. Bills come back and run them down. I don't know that Vrabel's still your coach. I mean, they had a head start. You beat them, you know, to start the year, had them down the second time. I might go with what McDonald.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if Seattle goes on to do.
I think it does matter the final 2 weeks
it
of the season.
Matter.
You know,
it'll be decided because you've got too many good cases.
I'm willing to give it to whoever. If it's not the Rams, that's the ones that are in the NFC. I'll give it to the coach.
My
God,
in Jacksonville, Liam Cohen.
Liam Cohen, yeah. I mean,
yes,
you're right. He's in the mix.
He should be in the mix. Absolutely, should be in the mix.
I mean, Sean Payton. Like, they just keep winning.
I mean, you think as a Bear fan, I just say Ben Johnson's your coach. I can't do that. There are so many good cases there. And especially if the Bears don't get the one seed. Now, if the Bears get the one seed, to me, that's easy. You are a 5-win team.
He will be the coach of the year, yeah.
You've turned around the right.
You have a 5% chance right now, though. You would need a lot of help. But it's better than zero.
Agreed.
I mean, and who would have thought that they would be in this position in week 16?
It's just more about how many good coaching jobs there are.
Yeah.
You know, this year that's been turned upside down a little bit because you don't have Harbaugh and you don't have Andy Reid up there.
Yep.
You know, like you usually do.
Shane Steichen at one point would have been in that mix. And one guy I'll also mention who I think is not getting enough love in the betting markets. It won't win this because he's not going to win enough games, but D'Amico Ryans has done a fantastic job of navigating the Stroud injury and obviously he's constructing that defense.
Yeah, he's a defense guy.
They're a force to be reckoned with. You know, again, he's not getting much love in the betting markets, but I think he's done a hell of a job. So you're right. There's a lot of great coaching jobs. I mean, we saw two of them last night. I mean, that's, you know, that was as good as it gets in the NFL. Sean McVay and Mike McDonald, you know, great game. Somebody had to win, and last night it happened to be the Seahawks. But a fantastic night. Even Al Michaels, man. Al Michaels was in rare form.
Oh, I mean,
so good.
That added another 5 years to his He'll go on. I'm sure it added some juice to him.
Yes,
it's the best game he's ever had. I'm sure it's the best Thursday night football game ever.
Absolutely. I mean, it's gonna be tough to top it. especially this late in the season. All right, we'll come back. Anthony Saint's going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies, how they've gotten things back on track, Jaren's performance the last couple of games, all that and more on the other side. J&J 90.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
China FM, ESPN.
Anthony Sain is the host of the Anthony Sain Show on Bluff City Media. New episodes airing live every afternoon. Underground king of Memphis sports media, independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group, regular contributor on Grizzbeat on Grind City Media, and father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sain. You can follow him on X at Sain Asylum. Sain, things pretty good in Grizzlies land right now. Winners of 9 of 12, and they've got the Washington Wizards up tomorrow. You had said, if I recall correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, this team would be back at 500 by the start of the year. Looks like it's headed that way. If that's the case, Sain, and I want to give you credit early, what kind of grade would you give Tuomas Iisalo with where the Grizzlies are? Say they get back, you know, a little bit past the quarter grade, 28 games in, 14-14. If they beat the Wizards, what kind of grade would you give Iisalo?
I mean, all things considered, man, if it didn't have such a rocky start with some of the drama we had at the beginning of the year, the personality conflicts with him and Ja, not going to say that those were totally his fault or whatever either, but just the abrasiveness of how things came in with him, like coming in with a new coaching style and us as fans and the players having to adjust to it, you know, the platoon rotations and, you know, the pulling guys out and not keeping – you know, one of your two best players in at all times. So many things we've just kind of grown accustomed to over the years, seeing that were pretty much staples of, you know, NBA basketball. He's doing things so much different. If those things, accounting for those things happening, which I think bring his grade down, in my opinion, the fact that he's taking this team that has had so many guys in and out of that lineup, you know what I mean? So many injuries. You know, we were looking like we were getting this thing together. We got Edie back. We were getting it together, right? We said, okay, well, Edie's the best player on the team. And he's doing, he's the most important guy we got. And we're playing good ball with him. And I think we could beat anybody if we got Edie going, right? And then you lost Edie, and now you're still finding ways to win. You haven't had job for most of the season, either mentally or physically, haven't had him.
Yep.
And then you haven't had Jaren at all. He's been bad the entire season, pretty much. And then you get Jaren going, and you kind of see this thing coming together for this team to find itself where it is. With I don't think at any time in this season you've been when you've had less than four rotation players out at one time. I don't think this happened in any game this season. Now you got Brandon Clark back. Hopefully you might be seeing, you know, Ty Jerome back pretty soon or whatever. But yeah, man, with all things considered, I think you have to give him a B, some sort of B. I'm thinking B minus, B plus. Mm-hmm. I mean B minus, regular B. And like I said, I'm only reason why it's not in an A minus level to me is because things started off so abrasive. We're still getting used to some of the Tomas Isolo system and all those type of things and the sub patterns and all that. So I think those things alone are hurting him. But you can't take away the fact that he's kept this thing afloat. All things considered.
Yeah, it's also you know his tone, right? And also, like, just mm-hmm. the way he says things and the way he speaks.
He's so straightforward, man. It's like he doesn't care.
Right. And I think that, like, now that the Grizzlies have gotten used to that, clearly there was some, like, abrasiveness at first. Like, yo, we've never heard, like, an NBA coach talk like this and be so blunt about it. But do you think now that, like, all right, it's December 19th, the team is winning again, they seem to have gotten to that bout of, you know, clash or whatever you want to call it. Like, do you think it's a situation now where now everybody's going to have a better relationship for having gone through all that?
Yeah, man, it's part of the thing. One of those things where it's like sometimes you just got to trust the process, man. And I think there is some method to his madness. There are a lot of things where I'm like, man, I hate I feel this way, man, but I like this about what we do. Like, there's certain things about him that I couldn't stand when we first did it, and I was like, yeah, that guy's not going to make it to February as far as being a coach. They're gonna mess around and fire him. Because this team is going to quit on him. This team has not quit on him, man. And they're really, you know, there are certain moments that I feel like have brought this team together and certain guys that have gotten so much better over time. Like, who thought Cam Spencer would be this? Vince Williams has became a player. He's been a little inconsistent. But, you know, Zach Edey is looking like top five big in the NBA when he came back. You know, there's a lot of good things that you just can't crap on, man, regardless of how you feel about something like rotations or things like that. So. Yeah, man, I can't knock him at all.
Jalen Wells got his groove back offensively, you know, with you.
Oh, yeah,
remember,
man,
he was struggling. That's been one. You got KCP. You talked about to accept a bench role. Like, they're out of these role player stories, saying, right, throwing Vince Williams in there when you didn't have any point guards, you're actually playing him down the stretch against Minnesota. Cam Spencer having, you know, found a way not just to be on the floor and be a part of the rotation, but a guy that now looks like he looks like a foundational piece with the way that he can shoot the ball. But you know, when he started out, you know, and God bless him, he's turning the ball over left and right. He's cleaning that up. We mentioned KCP. In terms of these role guys, which one's been the best story so far for you? Is it Cam?
Oh, easy, without a doubt, bro. Him for sure. And I think Edie's a close second, because Edie was a guy who was, you know, even last year people saying we need to go get another big this summer. I was saying we may go get another big this summer if you want to be serious.
Yeah.
And for Edie to be as good as he's been, I mean, like I said, for real, man, when he came back, you're talking about real discussions about is he a top five center in the NBA? You know what I mean? Those type of discussions were had about him, man. And that's big. But I think what Cam Spencer has done has even been more phenomenal. He's a guy who you took him late in the second round, a guy who got most of his minutes playing for the Hustle last year. People question signing him. Like, did we need to sign him this year? Like, all those, we could have just kept him on a two-way. All those things were coming out, right?
Yep.
And I was a guy who said, even in a situation with Ty Jerome out, I don't really see how Cam Spencer plays a lot at all. You know what I mean? And to see him step up in those minutes and be a guy who, I want you to name a 10-man rotation that doesn't include him. Like, just being honest, just from what we're seeing. So to see him become that type of guy, an elite shooter in the NBA, a guy who's becoming a national personality where national media attention is coming his way. Yeah. I just think he's just an amazing story, and I think it's been the best story. And not just that, man, that entire rookie class from last year. Coming into that, you had Zach Edey, who was totally polarizing as far as what people thought about the pick. Some people thought it was good for the Grizzlies. Some people thought it was the most horrible pick in the world. Jalen Wells was a second-round pick. Cam Spencer was a late second round. That's the best Grizz draft pass class we've ever had. I dare anybody to stack up anyone against that. Those three guys are the best draft class we've ever had. We've never had three guys that are like high-level players that came out of one draft. And those three guys have all been amazing. I think Cam's story has been the greatest one for sure.
I mean, saying the only thing it feels like that's not happening right now for the Grizz is the greatness that we have come to expect from Ja. Now, he's been banged up and he's currently injured right now. What's your level of optimism that when he gets back, he will be that guy again?
You said Ja, right?
Yes.
So much going on with Ja, man. You don't know where he is physically. You don't know where he is mentally. He's going to have to find a way to get on board with what these guys are doing and also find a way to dominate within this whole thing. That's something that I think that Jaren was struggling with this entire time. How to be a part of the system, but also find his way to dominate. John's gonna have to do that, man. Like he's, and there's so many opportunities for him. I think in this offense, he can really do very well, man. He's got Brandon Clark back. He's just got it's so much uncertainty because we haven't seen John play basketball in a very long time, bro. You know what I mean? He played those a little bit of this last game, but as far as seeing him with Edie and all those type of things, we haven't seen it. And so much at the beginning of the year was, you know, when he had the meltdown and had the immaturity issues, where he's, you know, into it with coach and he's, you know, pouting on the court and all those type of things and taking bad shots and, you know, voicing his frustration that way. To see him come back locked in is what you want to definitely see. But it's going to be a serious question of whether he's able to do that or not, man. I think that's something that you really have to ponder what he can do in that. I'm pretty confident that he can. I still think Ja's an amazing player, but it's all mental to me at this point for him.
My thing is with the narrative that's already out there on him and with the respect that I think that at least for now you have to have for what Isolo has done, right? As shorthanded as he's been, you know, beating mm-hmm. Minnesota the other night, as shorthanded as they were getting guys to buy in the roles, that if he doesn't come back sane and do what you said and buy in, bro, you threaten to have this narrative – you know, sort of cemented about you forever, at least until you, you know. Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm trying to say, is I don't think he has a choice, does he? Like, whether he wants to be here or not, he has to get on board.
Right, because even if he doesn't want to be here, the Grizzlies are not going to move him for crap, man. Like, and I'll say this, too. I think if the Grizzlies had a real trade offers coming with y'all, I think they would entertain those offers a lot more than what you're hearing now. I think that the quick phone call hang-up narrative is out there now that you're hearing from the media that the Grizzlies aren't taking calls for Ja, really. I think if the Grizzlies were getting real trade offers, you would hear different responses from that. But I think the fact that they're not, whether he wants to be here or not, I think he's going to be here. Because the Grizzlies are in no position to just give away Ja Morant for nothing. So, it's kind of a dark cloud over the organization, over the team right now. But I just hope Ja can pull this out, man. Because we need him, bro. We need him to be that guy for us, man. He's, you know, one of the more marketable players in the league, one of the more exciting players in the league. Regardless of what, you know, social media may say, he's still one of the more popular players in the league. So I hope he gets it together, man. I think he can, but he'll have to.
Yeah. And it's, look, I don't know physically, you know, that it may be a physical thing. It may not even just be a mental thing. It may be a physical thing, but there's no question because it does feel like everything's coming into place. That is what excites me. Like, as much as we talk about, you know, the Zaire Williams, which we don't really talk about anymore, it does feel like these folks have hit. So to have two this summer, right? That's, you know, I know you don't want to necessarily get younger, but man, when you're basically hitting on all these dudes, this is how you build. I mean, it's like you look at the best teams have, you know, depth. I mean, it's what undid the Nuggets last year. So no matter what happens this year, Sane, it does feel like you got a chance to really reload with the way that they hit on these on these picks.
And I don't care about getting younger, man, because seeing the Spurs be this good this soon, I don't care about getting younger. I want to get better. If we get better players, if you're getting, like, you know, another Cedric Howard or another Jalen Wells or another Zach Edey, you know, another Cam Spencer, I don't care about getting younger, man. Because we're seeing now the league is constantly getting younger and younger, man. You're seeing young teams move away from young players for younger players. You're seeing that in Charlotte. You're seeing that in Atlanta. You're seeing that in New Orleans. those three franchise players, when you're talking about Trae Young, Zion Williamson, and LaMelo Ball, those are the three players, those three faces of those franchises. And you're seeing younger players coming in, putting question marks about, should we move on for these guys who aren't even 25, 26 years old themselves, you know what I mean? So I don't care about getting younger, man. I just want to get better.
I was waking up this morning saying, getting a crust out of my eye. I know you don't care about what happens in my bedroom, but your tweet was
all good.
Your tweet was among the first things I saw at 5:17 a.m. with Giannis talking about being traded to the to Memphis, to the Grizzlies.
Uh-huh.
He was just talking about, obviously, all the stuff that's out there right now about him being traded.
All the Photoshops and AIs and all that stuff.
And that's what I was trying to figure out as I got the sleep out of my eye, whether this was real, whether he'd really said this or not, and in what context it was. It was hilarious. Mm. I'm saying all that to say, what is the best fit, you think? And I ain't suggesting it's Grizzlies. Mm. Lord knows we jump on it. I'm talking about in terms of real, you know, shot at trading for Giannis. What's the best fit for him, you think, in terms of the teams that want him?
I'm not gonna say we the best, but I think we up there. Like if he's trying to go to a place where he feels like he can fit in, and you know, win another championship or be in a team that's in a good situation, or you know, Giannis has been playing in Milwaukee, man, and he's been playing in a small market. So Memphis is a place. I think if Giannis was here, I think he would love Memphis, man. Every time we've seen Giannis come to Memphis and eat wings on national television, mm-hmm. in the press conference, right? Like, I think that he would like it here, man. I think that this is a city he would like. It's not too big for him. Probably not too small for him either. It's an urban market. I would not rule Memphis out as a spot where Giannis would like to go. You got a lot of young talent here. You got Zach Edey, Cedric Cowart, Jalen Wells, Cam Spencer, John Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr. All those guys are here. They all won't be here if he gets here, but I think there'll still be enough talent here that Giannis can see something good here in Memphis for sure. But I think teams that I think, of course, New York teams that have a lot of depth as well. That right. If they traded for Giannis, they still would be okay. Houston, of course, they would be crazy good with him. San Antonio, you know, your usual suspects. OKC is a spot that I feel like could just get Giannis super easy. I don't want that to happen so bad. I don't even want to talk about it, but I definitely can see him landing the OKC for sure.
I like the case that you make for the Grizzlies, and I want it to be true, saying I just ask you in fairness, is not what the Knicks would have or, you know, in terms of what you're coming to, and I'm talking about from Giannis's perspective, if it's Ja on the Memphis roster, is that really – can Giannis really depend on Ja and look at him as a reliable player, hey, I'll win championships with? I mean, do we have the thinnest case in terms of that? That's what I'd be concerned about. Does he look at Ja like a guy he might look at like a Wimby or somebody else and say, okay, that guy's going to be there? And Wimby, you know, he has to prove that he can be there. But Ja has the longer history of this. I just wonder, does that hurt us if Ja's on the roster if you're trading for Giannis?
Well, I'll say this. If I'm making a Giannis trade, Ja won't be his teammate. I'll just throw it out there.
Right. I'm making sure there.
If I was to make a Giannis trade, I would trade Ja, and I wouldn't lose an ounce of sleep.
They're going to want him anyway.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo, man, you're talking about a guy who, as far as being a guy that the city will love, and he'll love the city too, I think the chances of both of those are extremely high if he comes here. You're talking about a guy that walk in being just a legendary player in this town, man. There's not a player on this roster I wouldn't trade Giannis for, man, just being honest with you. As far as if a trade was for Jaren, I think him and Ja could work for sure. Yeah. You gotta get some shooting around those guys. You gotta be able to spread the court. But if both of those guys are on your team, I could definitely see it work.
Why is the energy with the Lakers so weird, bro? Luka had an interview I saw the other day where somebody asked him, like, you know, what's it like working with LeBron? You know, and trying to get back, and you know, with the difference between this year and last year. And Luka shot back. He was like, "What do you mean working with?" Like it just feels kind of icy. And I don't know if this is related to the LeBron, you know, sciatica thing, but why does it feel so? Does it feel tense? I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it.
Oh yeah, for sure, man.
Because they have a good record, but it's like it doesn't feel like it's all good off the court.
Yeah, because, you know, LeBron's over there doing weird stuff, man. Like, LeBron doesn't really seem locked in about actually winning. It doesn't feel locked in about it being Luka's team now. And I get that stuff, man. You're talking about a guy who's arguably one of the greatest players of all time. And then you ask him to be, you know, the number two, you know, to somebody. You know what I mean? So I get that whole thing. Plus, LeBron's just being super dramatic this year anyway. He's out here doing videos of Casanat and You know, he's just on some other stuff right now, man. And, you know, and he's doing this typical LeBron thing where they ask him questions about guys. He's, oh, man, I've been watching golf lately. He's just, LeBron's being super difficult. He's been kind of passive aggressive too with the way he's been going about certain things. But I'm down for all that. I want to see this Lakers team season end as soon as possible. So sign me up for all of the
saying Karl-Anthony Towns,
American born Karl-Anthony Towns.
I was going to ask you, you didn't have him on your top 10 list of internationals either, right? You told me I couldn't have him American born. No.
Yeah, and that's a good point, man.
But he's not in your top 10 internationals. That's what my point is. Y'all put Cat in purgatory. He's you don't give him any credit whatsoever. The man's born in New Jersey. They wouldn't let me put him on an American born.
Why? Because he plays for the Dominican Republic?
Because he chooses to play for the Dominican.
Right.
But the point
because
is,
we were talking USA versus the world.
If he has to play for the Dominican Republic.
He would be on the world team. That's got to be a choice.
He doesn't have a spot on the U.S. roster.
Well, if he. Why? I mean, he's a double guy, and he shoots threes from the outside.
Here's
my only thing: if we're not going to put him on the American team, right? American born, whatever else, we're saying Cat is not one of the top 10 international players, even though he's not on those lists because he's born here.
If he has to be on that list, right?
Y'all were putting me in a position where he can't be on anything. He's got to be on one or the other. I think we've disrespected Cat too much. He's not a number one. We saw that in Minnesota. But you put him on a team where you got a true leader like Jalen Brunson, and he's out there, Saint. He's out there just about every night, man, playing through stuff.
Yeah, for sure. He's gonna give you. You're looking at 20-10
and a half,
damn near every game.
Rebounds.
Yeah. Cat is really underrated because of his a lot of the softness about him, a lot of weird goofy stuff he's done. But Cat's a hell of a player, bro. Like, don't get it twisted. There is something to think about as far as this All-Star thing goes, because he's gonna be an All-Star. What team would he play on? Would he be USA or World?
The World's only 8 guys, right? And to your point, there's too many good World bigs to put him on that team.
Yeah.
So then, does he make one of the two eight USA teams?
Come on back home, big dog.
Yeah, come on back home.
I mean,
he's born in New Jersey, man. Speaks.
Yeah, know. we need Cat to come on back home, man, for sure. Because USA bigs are kind of is already kind of slight, man.
We got Mobley. We got
He's not ready.
No.
To play the five,
I would put Jalen Duren ahead of him this year, just in terms of grown man gonna go get me some rebounds.
You don't think Mobley will be on the 28 roster?
Probably.
Yeah, you're
right there,
the five,
fighting with Jalen Duren and everything else.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the Olympic team.
I tell you, put Cat on that thing. You know, let him play for a winner.
I'm fine with that.
And do y'all like this USA versus the World All Star thing?
I do, Sane.
I heard y'all talking about it. I think it's absolutely stupid.
Here's the thing. Sane, weren't you saying that you'd like to see it as part of the cup thing though?
Yeah, do that.
Well, here's my thing. I don't mind that, but what I'm saying is, what are we looking at the All-Star game then? Then we go to back to that thing having nothing and it's being dead. This is the one thing I think might give it some juice.
I fixed the All-Star game a long time ago, bro. Nobody
How's
wants
that?
To
remind me again. I'm sure you've told us,
If you want to fix the All-Star game, all you have to do is just like there's a financial incentive winning the cup. Just do one thing. Pay one guy. All you got to do is make, you know, you got your MVP, right? Make a defensive MVP too, and make that a cash prize. If two or three guys start playing defense and they're all trying to get that defensive MVP award for a cash prize, everybody's going to be out there playing hard to get that award, bro.
No, I agree with that. Do we see the money as an incentive? And the cup has worked. I mean, they were all doing the money.
I don't mind spending money. NBA got money to burn, bro. Go spend that money, bro. Make these dudes get out there. I'm not mad at what who is that said that? What KD said too. I think he was trolling, but what he said made a lot of sense, bro. About Steph Curry and Dame Lillard being the first dudes to just really be goofy in the All-Star game. Mm. Like, they made it goofy, bro, for real.
Yeah.
Like, taking all them threes like that, like half-court threes, they started that crap. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, you talk about goofy, Josh Hart. Now, that boy needs Scott playing little boy games, and we grown men out here. Now, that's goofy.
Yeah, that brother needs prayer, man.
Yeah.
That man needs a mentor. Something a pastor or something.
Yeah, he does. He does. Well, we'll work on the All-Star game. I mean, I'm happy to just do away with the whole damn thing, bro. At this point,
same.
Oh man, it's still for kids, man. We be trying to take stuff that's for kids and like take it with us our whole lives.
No, All Star Weekend is for the Huzz, bro. That's all it's for.
It's who?
The Huzz. I don't want to say the actual name. The Hoes.
Oh, you know.
It's for the Hoes, bro.
Okay. So, yeah, it's for girls and kids, bro. For real.
Does the fact that Brunson didn't immediately turn and fire on that man mean that the Knicks clearly get down? They play like that in the locker room.
Hey, now you talk about the Nova boys, right? Hey, ain't no telling what's going on in them dorms, man, for real.
Them boys, like, they playing like their old college days. They probably did it with DiVincenzo as well. Good
man,
Lord.
You got the Nova boys. I added some more letters to it and made the No Vaseline boys, man. So,
stop. I told my son that we don't play like this. We don't play like this.
Not at all.
Appreciate you saying, man. Appreciate it all,
Jason,
brother.
I see y'all, man. Hey, happy holidays to y'all, man.
Merry Christmas to you, brother.
All right, bro.
Jason does not say happy holidays. He goes to Christmas. You know, there are some things that you're
I'd say holidays for Thanksgiving. We're right for
the the holidays is just more inclusive, but I do sense that there is some pride with the Merry Christmas wishes.
I just go straight to it, brother. Yeah.
I like it, man. I like it a lot. Thanks to Anthony Saint for joining us on the show. A little bit of news, unfortunate. Greg DeRozier on a scooter will not be playing today for the Tigers in the Gasparilla Bowl. He's going out mostly the way that he came in, which was hurt. So, that's a sad one. But we will have B. Lou. We will have Cortez Bram and William Whitlow.
Sutton Smith.
You know, we will have most of our pieces today against the NC State Wolfpack. We'll be calling that game live here for you around 1:25, 1:30 or so. A lot more to get to on the show. Parth Upadhyay will join us in that third hour. We'll talk Memphis basketball with him, get his thoughts on the game tomorrow. Hubbard is back for Mississippi State, by the way. So, going to be a little tougher. Although, it's opening up at mostly, I won't say pick 'em. Mississippi State's going to be about 2.5-point favorite. But very doable. Much, much more doable than probably you thought going into the year. So, got to take advantage of that if you're
no
Memphis.
Question.
If you can. We'll come back. J&J, 90 Trying to Fam, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.